Continuing with the Sabbath series this week with our third installment. And the title this week is 14 Reasons Why We Keep the Sabbath. And that seems pretty ambitious. And no, we're not going to cover all 14 reasons today, but we are going to cover three of those. And I wanted to basically lump all of these reasons together into one, just lump, so that we can kind of see them as one. So this week we want to cover Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And also, if you might hold your place in Exodus chapter 20, I would like to read the fourth commandment. So here now the words of our God, beginning with Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended His work which He had done. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work which God had created and made. Now, if you'll turn with me to Exodus chapter 20, we'll read verses 8 through 11. Beginning with verse 8, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter nor your male servant nor your female servant, nor your cattle nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." We're encouraged today by the reading of Isaiah 55 when it comes to hearing God's word proclaimed. "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." May God bless not only the reading and the hearing, but the application of His holy word. Amen. Well, last time we covered the subject of the Sabbath governing our time. And as it turns out, I didn't manage my time very well in that first sermon, so we did cut off a bit early. But I do want to give you, for your notes, to look up the Larger Catechism question 150 and 151. Because these questions talk about how some sins in the sight of God are more heinous. And we're going to cover this more in a future date. But I did want to point out to you in the Larger Catechism question 151, that question asked, what are the aggravations that make some sins more heinous than others? You can notice in that particular question, the Lord's Day is mentioned specifically as a time that we might make sins more heinous. So that's certainly something we want to mention, making sins more heinous from circumstances of time and place. So how we use our time can aggravate sins and cause us many, many difficulties in this world. And we mentioned a lot of those last time. And specifically, the answer says, if on the Lord's Day or other times of divine worship, or immediately before or after these, or other helps to prevent or remedy such miscarriages, if in public or in the presence of others who are thereby likely to be provoked or defiled. So we will visit this down the road, coming back to question 150 and 151. But I also wanted to mention the Larger Catechism question 118 and 119, because here we come to the duties of family directors or governors of families and other superiors. That time element is connected to your responsibilities to those who are under you as a governor or a superior. So make those in your notes, and we'll cover those as we go forward. So this week, actually, again, ambitiously talking about the 14 reasons we keep the Sabbath, actually the three that we'll cover this week, if we have time, are the fact that the Sabbath is a creation ordinance. And then secondly, that the Sabbath was established before the fall of man and sin. And thirdly, that the Sabbath was established before the giving of the law. Those are important elements to understand whether or not the Sabbath day continues on in our day. And these are things we want to look at today. So let's begin our time in looking at the creation of the Sabbath day. Let's hear Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 21 and section 7. How does the Sabbath day fit into the creation account? 21:7 says, "As it is the law of nature." So it begins at the very beginning by saying that the Sabbath day is a law of nature. In general, a due proportion of time to be set apart for the worship of God. So, in His Word, by a positive, moral, and perpetual command, binding all men in all ages, He hath particularly appointed one day in seven for a Sabbath, to be kept holy unto Him. So our confession is very, very clear about whether or not the Sabbath day or fourth commandment continues on to be relative to our time. Very clear that we state that in our confession. So then we come to the question, where does the Sabbath day come from? Where did it begin? When was the first? And how did it come to be? And what was the purpose of that first Sabbath day? And then I think to answer that question really is to provide several of the crucial reasons why we keep it today. Now, some people want to connect the Sabbath day in its very beginning to the Ten Commandments. And they try to make the case that it's the only commandment we don't keep anymore. And I think that case for that falls flat. But that's also starting at the wrong beginning. The Sabbath day does not begin in Exodus chapter 20. The Sabbath day begins in Genesis chapter 2. And that's very important to see why it's still relative for our time. I just got through reading that chapter. If we had read the first chapter, we would see that this first three verses of Genesis chapter 2, they fall after the creation account of the other 6 days. This was the day that God rested. And so as we go then forward to Exodus chapter 20, we read that the part of the Ten Commandments concerning the Sabbath day, we notice that the creation of the Sabbath is given as one of the reasons why we are to obey it. It's one of the reasons why we obey it in Exodus 20. Did you notice that? It says, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." That day was made holy because of the creation week. God set that day apart. It's very important for us to notice that because the commandment itself in Exodus 20 is rooted in the creation account. But something happened or was instituted at the creation then that continued to be true when the law was given. And see, that's important because the fourth commandment tells us to remember the Sabbath day. It was already something that was in place and so easy to forget. John Murray says, "Here can be no doubt that the blessing of the Sabbath day and the sanctifying of it has direct bearing upon the seventh day in the weekly cycle ordained for man. And this would carry with it the inevitable inference that God blessed and sanctified the seventh day of our week precisely because He sanctified the seventh day in the realm of His own creative activity." So when we speak of truths or laws that were established at creation, we continue then to refer to those things as creation ordinances. And we're going to get into really talking about those today. So let's going back to the 14 reasons why we keep the Sabbath. We've looked at several of those already, right? The first reason you can see they're listed in your worship order is that God has promised to bless the keeping of the Sabbath. We spent some time on that in our first week. The second reason that we keep the Sabbath is that the Sabbath helps us in our use of the means of grace. We spent quite a bit of time on that. It's a blessing that because of the Sabbath day, because the time has been set aside, now we can hear the word proclaimed, we can worship the Lord, we can have times for baptism and the Lord's Supper. The means of grace are used primarily on the Lord's day and on the Sabbath. The third reason, the Sabbath gives us a perpetual time for worshiping God and religious instruction. That was our main topic last week, that God governs our time by the use of that fourth commandment. And part of the reason for having governing the time is to give us time for the things that we're doing today. So that's our third reason that we covered. And then fourthly, we'll cover this more down the road, but the Sabbath gives us a rest from our physical labors. That's one of the ways in the governing of our time. So we just mentioned it. But later on, when we get to practical application of the Sabbath day, we're going to talk about how the labors fit into a day of rest. So that brings us then to today, which is the fifth reason that we see the Sabbath then is a creation ordinance. So what are creation ordinances? What are they? What's the definition of such a thing, if there is such a thing? And actually, as you're reading about the Sabbath and different defenses of the Sabbath, you'll see that a lot of people deny the fact that there are creation ordinances, that there are laws set up from the time of creation. Creation ordinances are commandments or laws given to man at the time of creation. And I like a couple of definitions here. Ligon Duncan says creation ordinances are mandates or commands or principles that God gave to us in our original pre-fallen, unfallen state. They are designed to promote God's glory and to practically express what it means for us to be made in God's image. So these are things established at the beginning, connected to the fact that we're made in His image. Brian Schwertle defines creation ordinance as an ethical norm which is based upon the work of God in creation. An ethical norm, something that was understood and established from the time of creation. And then what we have found, and we're going to make the connection with the Sabbath, is that the Lord gives us more light upon that day as time goes on. And then when we get to Exodus chapter 20, it's sort of solidified into a commandment of something that we should have already known. And we're going to see that today when we look at Exodus 16. And, you know, I'm not very strong in math, but Exodus 16 comes before Exodus 20. And there's a reference to and a discussion of discipline regarding the Sabbath day before the giving of the commandment. So we definitely don't want to miss that. Well, we know what the creation ordinances are, or what the definition of a creation ordinance is. What are the creation ordinances? Now, John Murray lists the creation ordinances as the procreation of offspring, the replenishing of the earth, the subduing of the earth, dominion over the creatures, labor, the weekly Sabbath, and marriage. So these are things that were established at the beginning that continue to be for all time laws, precepts, ordinances that apply to mankind. So we want to say today that with creation ordinances, they do not pass away in this world. They always exist in this world and in this life. Creation ordinances are for all men. It isn't as though God gave those creation ordinances only to His people. He gave them to all men. And a very good point to make here is that creation ordinances are not ceremonial. They're not connected to the ceremonial law. I'm going to repeat that a couple of times this week, because that's generally an area that people see as a weakness in the fourth commandment. They believe it's a ceremonial commandment, and so they'll attack it at that supposed weakness. But we see here it's a creation ordinance. It has nothing to do with the ceremonies. There aren't any ceremonies yet, right? Man is in his innocence at this point before the fall. So there are no ceremonies. So how can the Sabbath itself be ceremonial? It isn't. We definitely want to make that point today, the Sabbath is not ceremonial, connected to each of the points that we'll make. So creation ordinances are structures that are set in place for all men, for all ages, and for all men of all ages. They do not pass away. And we're going to hear a lot of objections as we do go forward in the keeping of the Sabbath commandment in our day, the fourth commandment. But the fact that the Sabbath is a creation ordinance strengthens the case that the rule is binding upon us now. It strengthens the case. The three basic creation ordinances are marriage, work, and Sabbath. So we then might put under marriage, procreation, the replenishing of the earth. We might even say that family, the beginning of the family, is a creation connected to that creation ordinance, or even the beginning of the church. I mean, these are God's people, and so this is all connected here to marriage. The second one, work, might include the subduing and the dominion that John Murray talked about. And then thirdly, we see the Sabbath. I definitely want us to see today that each of these ordinances, if they're set up as permanent and binding upon all men in all ages, can you notice today that each of these ordinances are under heavy attack in our culture? Isn't that interesting to note that that marriage, that work, and that the Sabbath are all in our time subject of confusion and subjects that are under attack? Watch the news and see how the creation ordinance of marriage is slowly falling in our culture. Today, over half of all marriages end in divorce. More and more states are legally allowing men to marry men and women to marry women. And so the very idea of that creation ordinance is misunderstood in our culture and under attack. We might also say the same thing about work, and especially in our culture from a perspective of people who will not work or people who refuse to work. In our particular nation at this time, there are 13 million Americans on welfare. That's about 4% of our population, drawing from our budget $132 billion each year. People that just won't work because they don't understand that that was something that God has commanded for all men to do. And then thirdly, we're not surprised that the Sabbath day, the third of the primary creation ordinances, is definitely seen its share of attacks, especially in the last 150 years. We'll look at some of the history of that as well. I think we definitely don't need to be surprised that these things would be under attack. But what is surprising, especially regarding the Sabbath day, is that the loudest voices speaking against the Sabbath in our culture are Christians, and sometimes Reformed Christians, especially when we see people promoting the idea of a continental view of the Sabbath day. And we're going to spend a sermon on that, if the Lord willing, if I have the time and the ability to put that together. There's a supposed view that there's a lesser view of the Sabbath day that comes from the continental churches, from the Reformation. I don't see that and don't believe that's a valid excuse for not keeping the Lord's day. I think it's very helpful for us today to remember that Satan hates the law of God. Satan hates God. Satan hates you. And so I believe that he labors to no end to make us forget the law of God. Satan also hates the creation ordinances. And he labors not only in our culture, but all around our world to cause us to forget these beautiful and solid structural things that God has set for man to live by in this world. Satan hates these institutions, and he certainly has hated them since the creation itself. So we definitely want to make that point today that the Sabbath day is a creation ordinance. Secondly, and this would be our sixth reason to keep the Sabbath day, that the Sabbath was established before the fall of man. It's such an important point to make, that the Sabbath day was intended to be an ordinance kept upon the earth for all times, but it was given during a time when man was in a sinless state. The Sabbath, then, it has relevance to Adam in a state of sinlessness. And we might then just make the simple application. If Adam needed a day of rest and a day of worship and a day set aside in his sinless state, how much more so now do we need the Sabbath day in our fallen state? And certainly God does not dismiss that. When we see from Genesis up into Exodus 20, God commands that man keep a Sabbath day. The debate has been over whether or not we keep it still now after coming of Christ. Robert Shaw says there is unquestionably as much reason and as much need for all the sons of Adam in all ages and nations in their feeble and sinless state to have a day appointed for their own rest and for the worship of God as there was for Adam in paradise and in a state of innocence. The Sabbath then was set apart as holy from the very beginning. And that strengthens the case that it continues today. The fall obviously does not do away with the fact that the Sabbath was instituted and permanent. It did not pass away with the fall of man, and as we'll see, it didn't pass away with the giving of the law. Now, for the Sabbath, it was designed for perpetual use even before the introduction of sin into the world. And repeating that for emphasis so that you'll remember that when people want to attack the Sabbath day, remind them that it was given for man in a state of innocency and continued on in the fallen state. It was given before there were any ceremonies. It was very important to note that as well. Why do we have ceremonies in the Old Testament? Because of the fall. But the Sabbath was already instituted at that point. It was already established for all men. James Fisher says, being instituted while Adam was in innocency and consequently before all types and ceremonies respecting an atonement for sin, and being appointed him upon a moral ground without any particular reference to an innocent state more than any other, it must therefore be a perpetual obligation. And that is the way that we understand it in the Westminster Confession, in the larger and shorter catechism. That is a perpetual obligation to us. Now, next week, we're going to pick up with Genesis, and we're going to see, make a very strong case, I believe, that Adam and Eve kept the Sabbath day in the garden. Now, the Scriptures are silent on that. But most people assume that they didn't keep it because the Scriptures don't talk about it. So we're going to try to make a case next week as we go forward from Genesis 2 that the keeping of the law would be something that we would assume would take place. And I'll show you a number of reasons why that's a very valid thing to do versus the other view, which is to assume they didn't keep it. To assume they didn't keep it is not scriptural. So the fact that the Sabbath then predates the fall makes it much less likely that it would eventually pass away in this world. God set the day apart as holy, and He's never told us that it's become common. He's never told us that in this world the Sabbath passes away. So I think that is the sixth reason that we would say today that we would keep the Sabbath day, is that it was established before the fall of man. So the seventh reason then, why we would say that we keep the Sabbath in our day, is that it was established before the giving of the law. It's a separate point. It's kind of reiterating what we've already said, but it's a separate point to think that it comes before the Ten Commandments. That leads us to think then that the Sabbath is not itself to be ceremonial, as many people would think. But it also would see then that folks who want to attack the Sabbath day, when they go straight to the Ten Commandments as a reason why we don't keep the Sabbath day, in order to show us that they've already misunderstood the Sabbath day from its very beginning. They can't do that. You have to go to the beginning and show why it is no longer a creation ordinance. But you also have to go through the law and show us why it's no longer part of the law. And I don't even think that case is very well made. One thing to notice in the fourth commandment itself, and this is something that is a pretty weighty thing to consider. Strangers and Gentiles were required to keep the Sabbath day. Now that's important because they could not participate in a lot of the ceremonial laws because they were unclean. But they had to keep the Sabbath day. Isn't that interesting? It's so far put above a ceremonial law in the Old Testament that even in the commandment itself, it reminds you that it's not part of the ceremonial law. And folks tend to miss that point. It was definitely not limited to ceremonies. Now, the creation account does show us this very clearly when it was instituted. But there's another strong pre-Ten Commandment example of keeping the Sabbath, and that's in Exodus 16, if you would turn there, please. I do intend to cover this more in detail next week, but I wanted to point something out to you. Now, this is an example of when the manna was given to feed the people, and there are directions that are given here about how they were to gather it, but there's a rule given that they can't gather it on the Sabbath day. Remember, this is before the giving of the fourth commandment. Look, if you would, at Exodus chapter 16. Let's pick up in verse 22. It came to pass that on the sixth day, when they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Now look at verse 23. And he said unto them, "This is that which the Lord hath said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord." The rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. That's given and declared to be before the giving of the Ten Commandments. And so we would naturally assume that that day was holy from the time of creation up until Exodus 16. "Bake that which you will bake today, and seethe that which you will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning." And they laid it up till the morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. Yeah, that's appealing, isn't it, to talk about worms in your manna. Verse 25, "And Moses said, Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today you shall not find it in the field." See, these are things given to the people of Israel as though they should have already known this. This was an already established principle. Verse 26, 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day to gather, and they found none. And that verse always strikes me as very much relevant to our own culture. God tells us the day is holy, and yet we insist on not keeping it holy. The very next day, we see people go out to find manna when God had said there's not going to be any manna. See yourself, I see myself, in verse 27. The Lord said unto Moses, "How long refuse you to keep my commandments and my laws?" You see, this is the thrust here of the Exodus 20 commandment. God says they're commandments and laws. When were these commandments and laws given? They were given at creation. They were understood to be commandments and laws. They weren't just understood to be some mysterious thing that you could do if you wanted to, and you didn't have to if you didn't understand it. They were understood to be commandments and laws. The Lord see, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. Now, this passage was not the institution of the Sabbath day. How do we know that? Because we read Exodus chapter 20. And Exodus chapter 20 refers back to the creation. It doesn't refer to Exodus 16. That's a good point to make. That the beginning of the Sabbath is clearly laid out for us in Exodus chapter 20. Just mentioning the passage in Matthew chapter 24 in verses 19 through 22. I'm going to go over that pretty quickly. In fact, I might save that for later. But Jesus here talks about how we praise that your flight would not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. Now, I do want to talk about that more later, but he's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem that would come after 70 AD. So that's something that happens after, down the road, that would put the Sabbath then into our time. People want to limit it to ending at the New Testament. So let's save that for later. We send in that the Sabbath day was set apart from the beginning, not simply because it was included in the Ten Commandments. Its holiness is therefore not simply one linked to the Old Testament ceremonies or to the law of Moses. So then it cannot disappear when the ceremonies disappear. Now, as the scriptures continue to unfold and we see them after Exodus 20, what we're going to cover, we're going to see then that ceremonial things were attached to the Sabbath day. There were ceremonies that were performed on the Sabbath day. Now, these ceremonies are the things that pass away, not the Sabbath itself. And most of the attacks upon the Sabbath day are going to focus on the passing away of the ceremonies And that people want to say that attaches to the Sabbath which passes away. But they're two separate things. When the ceremonies come along, the Sabbath had already been instituted for many years from the beginning. We want to make sure that we don't see the Sabbath beginning in Exodus 20. So number 8, the Sabbath then was given for our example for all men in all times. Now we definitely don't want to dismiss that in our study of the Sabbath day. If you notice then, as we read Exodus 20, and I think it would be good for me to read that once more. I'm referring back to it again. Exodus 20, beginning with verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For, and this is the example that's given, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So we definitely need to see today that we are to remember the Sabbath day because God rested on that day as an example to you and I. So if we want to dismiss the Sabbath day today, then what we need to do is to be convinced that it's no longer an example for us. And that's something that we cannot do because it is a creation ordinance. Now the larger catechism, question 120. Let me read that one for you. Larger Catechism, question 120. What are the reasons annexed to the fourth commandment, the more to enforce it? Okay, so we're saying today that we are supposed to keep the fourth commandment. Well, these are the reasons why we keep the fourth commandment. And basically some of our reasons come from this larger catechism question. The reasons annexed to the fourth commandment, the more to enforce it, are taken from the equity of it, God allowing us 6 days of seven for our own affairs, in reserving but one for himself, in these words, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. So first of all, the larger catechism answer to 120 says, from God's challenging a special propriety in that day. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And this is actually one that we'll cover on. We could make our reasons 15. Because we're going to talk about God's ownership of the day next week as we begin moving forward to Genesis chapter 2. So God owns the day. So we keep the Sabbath because it belongs to Him. And we see that brought out for us in the larger catechism, question 120. He challenges a special propriety in that day. But secondly, and this is our focus here on this point, from the example of God, who in 6 days made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. And from that blessing which God put upon that day, not only in sanctifying it to be a day for His service, but in ordaining it to be a means of blessing to us and our sanctifying of it. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So God is giving us the day then as an example. He gave us the example in the creation week, and then we are keeping that today as an example, or following that example that He gave. And we talked last week about God, His rest is not a rest of inactivity. Do you remember us talking about that? We quoted at length from John Murray talking about that God was giving us an example for our day today, not in inactivity, but in a different kind of work than creating. And it definitely teaches us to keep the 6 days separate from the Sabbath itself. The things that we do on the Sabbath should not be the common things that we do on other days. And there will be a lot of discussion of that as we go forward, because the questions always come. Well, can I do this on the Sabbath day? Can I do this on the Sabbath day? Is it wrong to do this? Is it right to do that? And there are all these questions that come, and a lot of those really are really trying to sift out common things from things that God has commanded us to do. So we will spend some time on that in the future. Number 9. The Sabbath is included in the Ten Commandments. Now that seems like one of those ones you don't need to mention, but that's actually the point of attack for most folks who don't want to see the Ten Commandments as being valid any longer, especially the Fourth Commandment. And it is very much an obvious reason why we would keep the Sabbath, because it's commanded by God. And we will look at this separately. I think in 2 weeks or three, we'll spend just on the fourth commandment itself in the scripture there. We read John MacArthur a couple of weeks ago, and we saw that John MacArthur said that this was the only commandment that was no longer moral or binding. And so there are now 9 moral binding commandments, but that fourth commandment is not moral. It's ceremonial and not binding. That was John MacArthur's view, and a very common view. Listen to Robert Shaw and Charles Hodge. Robert Shaw says, "The binding obligation of the Sabbath may be argued from the place which the fourth commandment occupies in the Decalogue. It is inserted in the very middle of the moral precepts which God delivered to mankind as a perpetual rule for their lives. It is one of those commandments that was spoken by the voice of God Himself, that were twice written on tablets of stone by the finger of God, and that were laid up in the Ark of the Covenant. None of these things can be said of any ceremonial institution." So that's a pretty convincing argument, that you would have to come up with a pretty strong argument to pull that fourth commandment out from the middle of those 10. And I don't think that case is made. Charles Hodge says, "Hence also the law with respect to the Sabbath has been incorporated into the Decalogue as one of the 10 requirements in which the entire moral law, touching all our relations to God and to our fellow men, is generalized and condensed. It was written by the finger of God on stone." I love the way that people keep emphasizing that. That's something that is forgotten. "It was put side by side with the commandments which require us to love God, to honor His name, and which forbid unchastity and murder." That commandment was put with those. And then tenthly, we would say today that the Sabbath is affirmed by Christ Himself. And our Lord, far from dismissing the Sabbath, as many want to read into His words in the New Testament, instead, He establishes the ongoing nature of the Sabbath day. And He even proclaims Himself as the Lord of the Sabbath. And I would like to spend some time on Mark chapter 2 in the coming weeks. Jesus said unto them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." I definitely do not believe that Jesus gives us an impression that the Sabbath passes away. Instead, I believe He confirms that. So that's one of the reasons that we're giving today for keeping the Sabbath. Jesus corrects misunderstandings of the Sabbath day. He doesn't do away with the Sabbath day. All right, so we'll just go quickly through these last ones. Number 11, the Sabbath gives us a perpetual type of our heavenly rest. And that's one of the reasons we keep the Sabbath day today. We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 4. Number 12, the Sabbath is a market day for the soul. So we're going to look at some of those rich things that we gain from the Sabbath. We've already looked at some of those with the means of grace. Well, this is one of the reasons why we keep a Sabbath today, that it is that feeding of the soul that we otherwise wouldn't have. Number 13, the Sabbath helps us to remember that God created the world. That's something that seems to be forgotten in the modern church, that the creation account itself is something that's under fire. Charles Hodge says, "To keep in remembrance the fact that God created the world and all of its inhabitants, which is the great fundamental fact in all religion, whether natural or revealed." And yet people just dismiss the creation account as though it has no significance at all. Well, the Sabbath helps us to remember the creation account because of the fourth commandment. And then lastly today, we'll look at this when we come to the changing of the day from the seventh day to the first day. The Sabbath helps us to remember the resurrection of Christ. I particularly want to spend some time on this because sometimes people get the impression that there's a day set apart in the springtime where we decorate eggs and we talk about bunnies and things like that. And that reminds us of the resurrection of Christ. But what we want to find is that the very Sabbath itself reminds us of the resurrection of Christ. We don't need a day set aside that God has not commanded. He has commanded, conveniently so, a day already that we might remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, the amazing thing is, really, is we've seen these 14 reasons to keep the Sabbath. And again, we really just spent time on three or four of these today. But the amazing thing is, really, is that there are no good or biblical reasons to reject the Sabbath day. It's funny, if someone tried to come up with 14 reasons not to keep the Sabbath, there aren't 14 reasons not to keep the Sabbath. Unless we want to say, then, that we really do need more time for ourselves. Or if we wanted to say something like, well, we really already have enough time to do religious things. Or we already have enough time to worship God. Or we already have enough time to use the means of grace. Or we already remember the fact that Christ was raised from the dead enough. Or we already remember that God created the world enough. Or we might want to say that, that of all of these applications, we're already having those emphasis enough in our lives, then we don't need them anymore. And that's certainly not true in our time. We saw that on our first week. Many people would say then that the keeping of the day does not benefit us in some way. We're going to see certainly that that is not the case. Let us, as God's people, see then the great significance of this command that is given to us at creation. And let us hold fast to God's day. It may, it must be, it shouldn't be the least important day. It must be the most important day of our week and the last day that we would want to rid ourselves of. We hope that we move toward the place where it becomes the most precious day of the week. In the example of God, let us find lessons that we are taught in the fourth commandment itself. Let us leave out those things that are common on the other days. And let us reserve the Lord's day for the Lord. So we see there today 14 reasons why we are to keep the Sabbath day. Would you stand with me, please, as we pray? Our Father in heaven, how thankful we are that you have given us an example to follow in the setting aside of one day and seven for your worship. Grant that we might be more and more convinced of the continuation of that day and for the great benefit that it has for us as your people. We commit ourselves to you and ask that you would help us by your Spirit to keep the Sabbath day holy. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.